am really excited, though, to share with you. When Tim asked me to preach this Sunday, I'd already had something bubbling up inside me, and I'd been thinking about my grandma, who is one of my favorite people in the world. And I know maybe you're not supposed to have favorites, but she was just someone who brought me so much delight and so much joy. And anytime I get to share about her and the impact she's had on my life, it fills me with such delight. And so I'm really excited to be able to share a little bit about her with you all today. Anybody who knew my grandma knew that when you would go to her house, she would be sitting in her big brown recliner, and she would turn to you and say, "Can I tell you a story?" Now, I think we're used to people who are a little bit older sharing us stories about their childhood and when they were young. And those are such beautiful stories, and I love hearing about them. And my grandma would share them from time to time, especially if I'd ask about them. But if you knew my grandma, she wasn't telling you a story from her way back past. She would get a twinkle in her eye and she would say, "Let me tell you about my God story." And it was something that had happened to her that week that God had intervened in a way, whether it was big or small, she was the most excited to tell me or to tell whoever was there what her God story was. Whether it was something simple, like when her washer and dryer broke and her friend Kelly came over and washed all her laundry, or if it was a story when the young man came to fix the washer and dryer and she got so excited, she said, "Alana, his name was Nathaniel, and that's a name that's in the Bible." And so I was able to tell him that and talk to him about God through that connection. Or whether it was something like when she would come here to Crystal Lake to the health food store, and it would be winter time, and she would be worried that after she had her purchases, she wouldn't be able to hold the railing while she walked down the steps. So sure enough, when she went to the health food store and made her purchase and she walked out the door and was at the top of the steps, there was somebody there at the bottom, and they hauled her things so that she could hold the railing while she walked down the steps. These things might not seem big, but to her, it was huge. She was in her 80s or 90s at the time, and for her to trip and fall, that would be a life-changing thing. So God was coming through for her in these tiny, tiny ways. So I want to talk today about sharing our God stories. I want to take us through how, first, we love stories as people. Second, how we're living our stories. And thirdly, your God story. Our verse for today is Deuteronomy 11, 18, and 19. And this is what it says, starting in Deuteronomy 11, 18. "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Friends, I believe we all have God stories if we look for them. I know the more that I look for God stories in my life, the more I see them. And I want to talk about telling stories because I think if we see life through the lens of God working on our behalf, if we can connect those things together, I think it will draw us closer to God. Not in an "I'm better" Christian way, or "I know more than you," or "God loves me more than he loves you," but just in a way that God is wonderful. And this is a way that if we connect him being intricate into our lives, that we will feel closer and live nearer to him. So I want to start by praying again and then dive into everything. God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you, God, that you are already here in our midst. Holy Spirit, we just want to say you are welcome here. We thank you for being with us, God. And we ask, God, that your words would go forth, that your words would touch hearts today, God. I pray that any of my words that are not of you, that those would just fall away, but that your words would touch hearts, that people would leave changed, closer to you, God. And we just speak to anything else in the room that is not of you, any spirit of distraction or depression or loneliness or anything that is not of God, we just cancel that in the name of Jesus right now. We say only the Holy Spirit can speak and breathe and move in this place. Amen. We say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Help us to live in a way, God. live in a way that you feel welcome in our lives. We just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we love stories, right? That is a given. It is a given when you look at the movie industry that is billions and billions of dollars. People love stories. They love going to see a story. They love to read story. The book industry is billions and billions of dollars. And if you think about it, in so many ways for us, Jesus has even come to us in a story. And he knew that. He knew he was going to come to us in a story because we have not seen Jesus physically in the flesh. He knew that when he said this in John 20, verse 29. Then Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." He is coming to us in a story. When I was a child, I associated story, though, with fiction. Like, you're sitting on your bed, and your mom's like, "Let me tell you a bedtime story." You know, I associated it with once upon a time, a prince or a princess. But often, if you think about stories, the best stories, even the best fiction stories, always seem to resemble the truest and most wonderful story that can beautifully be contained in John 3:16. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The story of good versus evil and good winning out in the end. Love winning out in the end. John 3:16 says we won't perish because of the sacrifice of great love. Amen. But that talks of the end of the story, doesn't it? This is the culmination, the coming together. A story comes together, and the good stories make it all worth it. All the hard things, all the ugly things, all the battles, all the challenges, all the growth, all the forgiveness and love. At the end, it comes together and it is good and it is all worth it. But we don't live every day in the end, do we? We're living in the middle. We are living our stories, which brings me to point number two. We're living our life and our stories more like two men who are taking a walk in the Bible. They were on this road. They say it's the road to Emmaus. They were taking a walk and talking to each other. And they were very sad and down because Jesus, who they had put their hope and trust in, had just been crucified a few days ago. There was rumors that he had risen again. But their hope was crushed. They were living in this space and time right after Jesus had been crucified, and they didn't know what was going on. During their walk, Jesus shows up. They don't recognize him, but he shows up. And he asks them a question. He begins to walk with them. And so we'll pick up in Luke 24, starting in verse 17. And this is Jesus speaking. Luke 24, 17. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here these days?" "What things?" This is Jesus, he asked. "And about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." I think verse 21 is, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this has taken place." Do you hear the words that they said? In all of that, in their walking, they said, we had hoped. We had hoped. Proverbs 13:12 says this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. They were sick to their heart. Because what they had hoped in, living in the middle of this story, their hearts were crushed, not knowing what was coming next. And hope is so key, right, to keep us going. But so often we feel like those men, where what we hoped didn't come to pass. It's all gone. It's not here right now in front of us. But the story isn't over. We know that for them. We read the story and we go, you're talking to Jesus. You're talking to him right now. Do you see that? But they didn't. But we can see that because we know the end of the story. We see what's going on. But for us every day, we're living in the middle. We don't see it. We don't always recognize that Jesus is standing right next to us. But the story isn't over. I remember Tim telling me this once. He came back from a conference and he said that this stuck out to him. That at the conference they had said, failure isn't final when the Father is in the room.
Amen.
When God is in the room, failure isn't final. Friends, I remember prayer meetings back long, long ago, early days of Crystal Lake Vineyard, when prayer meetings were in Tim and Amy's basement, and people would come, and I remember after we would pray for a while for the church, we would offer to say, who would like some prayer, and we'd set a chair out in the middle and say, come sit in the middle, we'll pray for you, and I think I got kind of awkward during some of those times because people would come up and they'd say, like, I have this ailment or I'm dealing with this thing. And I remember one time just going, like, yes! And it was so weird. It was so awkward. It was just so awkward. But the reason I was there was because I saw the end of the story. They were in the middle of going, I need Jesus. And I knew the end of their story because I'd seen it time and time and time again, week after week after week after week, we would pray for people. And whether they got healed or not, they were touched by God. God would bring physical healing, but sometimes he'd bring emotional healing, or they would just feel that connection. They would hear God. They would know God saw them and cared for them. I was building this story of knowing that God was going to do something amazing. Friends, the stories we tell matter. The stories that we tell matter. And because of that, I want to define the word story. And I have a couple visuals for us as well today. So the first definition of story, which we've been talking about a lot, is an account of an imaginary or real people and events. So if you think of it as a story, the first definition is like a book. It's an account of people and events. The second definition of story is it's part of a building comprising all the rooms that are on that same level. So if you think of a story in a building, we're from the Chicagoland area. There are loads of super tall buildings in Chicago that we call them skyscrapers because they go up that high. Now, most of the time, I don't associate these two things together, but I want us to think about something. I want to think you to think about that the stories you tell are the foundation that you build your life on. So I have another picture for you. This is what I want you to think of.
Yeah.
It's the stories you tell are what build your life and your foundation. We're living in the middle, but how you build your story matters. What you're telling yourself, what the stories you're telling matter. Romans 5, verse 3 and 5 say this. In Romans 5, verse 3, Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. We live in the middle, but as we persevere, we build hope. As we persevere, we build God's stories. We build God's stories, and as Deuteronomy says, 11, verse 18 and 19, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Share your stories, friends. Share your stories. This brings me to point number three. Share your God story.
Yes.
As Jesus was leaving earth, he said this, John 14, 25 through 26. All this I have spoken to you while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit was sent to us. And for one of those reasons, it was to remind us of what Jesus had said. The Holy Spirit is here for many reasons, but for one reason is to tell us God's stories. If you want to share Jesus with others, share a God story. Share a story from the Bible. Share one of your stories, your God stories, and be a glimpse of the Holy Spirit to them. And then you might say, why does it matter so much? Well, we've been talking about Deuteronomy, and it talks about fix these words of mine on your hearts and minds. But why? Why does it matter so much? Well, we're going to jump a little bit earlier into that chapter, Deuteronomy 11. This section's a little bit long, but bear with me. We're going to start in verse 2. This is why it matters. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh the king and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things which the Lord had done. Why is it important to share? Because they don't know.
Yes.
They haven't experienced it. You know the difference. When you have experienced something, it gets deep in your bones. And what God is reminding them is your children, others have not experienced this. They didn't see it happen. So tell the story. And this is why God continues to speak to them. I'm going to read our verse again. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 19. And going on. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things. That is not that verse, but we're going to get there. Stephen's helping so fabulously, so no worries. Here we go. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them in symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And then I think we have a couple more verses, 20 and 21. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates. And then listen to this verse.
so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land. The Lord swore to give your ancestors as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Do you see that there is a promise here?
Yes.
There is a promise here. So that your days may be many in the land the Lord swore to give you. Because that's the thing, right? If you build your foundation right, if you build your foundation on God's stories, and you build that and build that and build that, those stories, you're building a legacy. You're building a skyscraper that has a foundation of stories upon stories upon stories of Jesus. So when you're living in the middle, and you're taking a walk, and everything that you hoped in seems to be crashing down around you, you will not fall because you are a strong building built with stories in history with God. If God has gotten me through the past, He will get me through what I'm going through now, and He's going to get me through what is going to happen tomorrow. This is why God says, do not worry about tomorrow. He's going to get you through. And what helps is those stories. So tell your story. Share your story. My grandma shared hers with me. And I still remember them to this day. She's passed on almost 7 years ago now. And I have not forgotten the God stories that she shared with me. And it reminds me that God loved her and saw her even in the small things. And if that is the case, if God loved her, and God can love me, and God can see the small things for me as well. And the same is true for each and every one of you. God sees you, the big things and the small things. Friends, I hope you can see that today. I hope you can see that stories are beloved. And even though we're living in the middle, seeing God in our story is how we build the foundation of our lives. And sharing it opens the door for others as well. If we can grasp this, the gravity of what it is to see God and find Him in your story, and remember it, and share it, I think we'll find ourselves closer to God and more full of His love. And I hope and I pray that you have the courage to share your God stories with other people. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and we'll do a little ministry time.